Glad you guys are here. I hope you guys are liking the series, by the way, the God Why series. I hope this has been something that is hitting for you. I'm excited about this entire series we're in right now. And today's question is one we've all had. The question is, God, why won't you just answer my prayer? How many of us have had this? We're like, God, I've been praying for just one thing. Could you just do this one thing for me? God, would you just hook me up in this one area? Lord, would you just open this door? Would you just fix this problem? You know, whatever it is, we have this one thing. God, if you'll just help me out, it really changed the game. God, if you could just answer my prayer. I don't know anyone who hasn't been frustrated with God at times, if we're honest, about unanswered prayer. So let's unpack that today. I'm excited about today's message. Let's start off. I want to just stop and pray. I just find that we kind of don't realize that we harden our hearts in this area. We really do. We get so frustrated that we're not getting what we want with God. I know something's already on your mind. I've already said unanswered prayer, and you're like, that's it. Oh, ah. There's something that we're all wishing God would do. Let's pray right now. God, I pray that you just open our hearts, God, that we would just allow you to till the hard soil in our souls today. God, we know that you cannot grow anything good in us unless we become unhardened, soft for you to do your work. And so, God, we pray that you would plant your word in us today and it would grow. Thank you, God, for this time. In your name we pray. Amen. Look what King David said. This guy was considered the greatest king in Israel's history. God actually said about David, you're a man after God's own heart. And so think about it. That's what God says about him. But yet look what David said about unanswered prayer. He said in Psalms 22, oh my God, I cry by day, but you do not answer. And by night, but I find no rest. Has that been you? Where you're like, man, I've just been asking for the same thing, and I just feel like it's going on deaf ears. I feel like, God, you're not even listening. And so we all feel that way at times. I want to show you scripture. This is one of the key verses on prayer. It says in Matthew chapter 7, this is a great verse. It should inspire all of us to pray more, but it can also frustrate you because it feels like God's not keeping his word. But he is. He obviously always keeps his word. Matthew 7 verse 7 says this, keep on asking, and you will receive what you ask for. Keep on seeking, and you will find. Keep on knocking, and the door will be open to you for everyone who asks. Everyone who asks. Everyone who asks. That's a big promise, isn't it? Everyone who asks receives. Everyone who seeks finds. And to everyone who knocks, the door will be open. Can we first just praise God that he's saying, I am a God who delivers. Isn't that nice? Like, thank you, God, right? So I want to encourage you with this. Would you write this down? God's delays are not God's denials. Just because it hasn't happened yet, doesn't mean it's not going to happen. So hang in there, Duke fans. It could still happen one day. I just had to throw that in because I'm a Cougars fan. Sorry, I just had to, you know. But anyways, but the point is that we all are waiting on something that hasn't happened yet, right? And so it's okay. But before I go further, I think maybe God could be saying to you and I know you think you're waiting on me, but I'm actually waiting on you. So let me show you some scripture on that. Yeah, that happens, right? Check this out. There's three areas whenever I don't see something happening that I want to happen in my life, especially when I'm praying for something I know is supported by the Bible, I'm like, God, your word says that you'll do this, so what's up? Right? Like, especially when you know you're praying for something that's in line with the word of God. And so I'll be like, God, you know, what's going on? And I'll stop and say, okay, God, is there something I'm not seeing? Is there something I'm not doing? Or is there something I'm doing that I'm not supposed to be doing? Right? So check out the scripture. It says in Proverbs 28, it says, if you refuse to obey what you have been taught, your prayers will not be heard. Okay, did you catch that? The other day, my wife, I walked in the house and she's like, I've called you three times. And I was like, no, you haven't. She goes, yeah, I have. I was like, I grabbed my phone, I clicked on missed calls, and I showed it to her. She's like, oh my goodness. I said, yeah, sorry, babe, there's something wrong with your phone, because I didn't even receive a call. Did you catch the scripture? It didn't say if you're disobeying God, he'll say no to your prayers. If you're disobeying God, they don't even get to him. God's like, I don't know if you realize this, but he's saying the communication device that you're holding on your end is broken. So God's not being mean. He's like, I didn't even hear the prayer because your sins block off our connection. So you're mad at God. You ever mad at someone like, I've been calling, why aren't you answering your phone? And you realize, oh, you weren't even getting the call. So you're mad at God, and he's like, I never even heard it. Because built into our sin, baked into the cake of our sin, baked into this world is a principle that God gives us. The principle is this: what you sow, you will reap. And so part of the sowing of sin is prayers don't even get to God. So if you're like, God, I've been asking and asking and asking, God's going to hold his phone and be like, I got nothing. Never got to me. So I just want to challenge you. The first thing you should do is say, is there anything on my end? Is there something on my end that I think I'm communicating, but I'm not, I'm actually, I'm blocking my own prayers because I'm not obeying God. The second thing oftentimes I've done is I said, God, is there something I'm not giving you that you want me to give? Let me show you scripture on this. It says in 2 Chronicles 6, Solomon went up to the altar in the Lord's presence and sacrificed 1,000 burnt offerings on it. Now, first of all, we all go, wow, 1,000 burnt offerings, that's a lot, right? Well, it's actually just perfectly in line with what Solomon had. He was just doing proportionate giving. He had 1,000 times more than everyone, so he gave 1,000 times more. And so he was just probably just bringing the tithe. He probably wasn't necessarily doing an above offering, or his above offering was just matching his income. Because remember, he owned gazillions of dollars. So, you know, it's like people, you know, get all excited. Oh, this celebrity gave $10,000. Oh, they gave a quarter. That's awesome. Because based upon their income, I think it's great that they gave something at all, but, you know, it's based upon what you have, right? So he was just probably giving proportionate giving to what he had. Goes on to say this, though, after he gave his sacrifice to God, then look what happened. That night, God said, what do you want? Ask, and then I will give it to you. Not about you, but wouldn't you love God to just knock on your door tonight and be like, what do you want? I'd be like, oh, really? You know, it's like that whole genie thing. You're like, okay, I can get one wish. I wish for 1,000 more wishes, right? You know what I'm saying? You're like, what can I wish for here, right? So can you imagine God just like, what do you want? You're like, this is so easy. I want, boom. And it would be so fast. You'd already have something on top of your tongue, on the edge of your tongue. You'd be like, oh, thank you for asking. This is what I've been wanting. And you'd be ready to ask, right? Now, Solomon was a pretty unique situation. His dad was king, and then he was exalted to be the next king. What does that mean? Solomon was a Nepo baby. He's like, look, I got a problem. The problem is that all these other people, they think my dad's the bomb because my dad proved it in warfare. I didn't do that. I just, you know, was in the lucky sperm family. I was just married in, or not even married, I was just born in, right? He's like, I just showed up and I'm the king's kid, so I'm up for the throne. Now, that's not an accident. God put you in the family you're in, so God allowed for that, so you can be frustrated, why wasn't I born in that family? No, God has you where he wants you. But the point I'm trying to say is that, you know, he had an issue. He's like, Lord, I really need them to see me as a leader, but I don't think they do, because I'm just the leader's kid to them, to many of them. And so he said, well, what can I do for you? After he had given, God says, what do you want? And this is what he said. I love this. He said, give me wisdom and knowledge to lead. Wow. And so then look what God says. Because you did not ask for wealth, riches, and fame. Now, let me stop there. Let's be honest. If God could just said, whatever you want, you can have it. Would you honestly admit that it would probably be wealth, riches, or fame? Right? Wealth meaning like I got millions of dollars. Riches, you know, typically means that like I have a massive income, right? So I got like a raise or promotion, right? And then fame is pretty obvious too. Like I've become an influencer, you know, as we call it, which I love that word influencer because it's people who don't influence crap because they can never say the wrong thing. If they do, no one will follow them anymore, which means you're really not influencing. They're all influencing you, which means you're not a leader. So, but here's the thing. If we're honest with ourselves, would not we ask to be the person that's got thousands coming to see their concert or their shows or watch their TV programs or follow me on my podcast or I have millions of viewers or this or I've got millions of dollars and I've got this car and that car and this house and that house? Let's be honest. A lot of the things what we're asking for are pretty typical. And isn't it funny how God just goes straight at it? Hey, thanks for not asking for those things. What's God saying? God's like, I know that you're going to probably ask one of those things, but you didn't. Isn't it? It's almost like he made us. That he knows what we would naturally fault to. So he says, I'm so glad you didn't ask for those things. He says, I will certainly give you wisdom and knowledge you requested. But then he says this, but I will also give you wealth, riches, and fame, such as no other king. God's like, because you asked for knowledge and wisdom, which means you'd have to walk with me and know me and hear my heart to have that. God's like, because you sought after me, I'm going to throw in the money. Did you know Solomon was the richest man in the world? He was. If you, on all accounts, Elon Musk would be taking a loan from Solomon. Isn't that crazy? Think about that. I mean, that's insane, right? Jeff Bezos, maybe he just lined up like paupers. Man, please, can we do business with you? It's crazy, the kind of money that he had. And so he had all that, but he didn't ask for that. God threw that in. Can I just ask you about giving? So the three things that I typically ask God, God, is there something I'm not obeying you in? Is there a gift I haven't given? First thing I do is I check my tithe. Like, am I tithed up? Am I prayed up? Am I obeyed up? Did you catch that? I went prayed up and obeyed up. I'm like, okay, God, is there anything I haven't obeyed you in? The first thing I check, am I off on my tithe? Is there a gift you want? And oftentimes I'll do offerings. And I don't think there's anything wrong with that. God sometimes just says, I want more of you. I'm like, okay, God, no problem. What do you want? And then I'll give God an offering. You know, we're a few weeks away from the completion of our last year's annual offering. Can I just ask you something? Did you keep your word this year? Or is it another year of broken promises? Let's just be honest. Like, did you promise God something and have you delivered? Because we may be stopping our own prayers from being answered, you know, because we didn't honor God in our giving or in our obeying. And here's the third one. This is even harder, honestly. Third one. Whew, this is a tough one. Check this one out. This is for husbands and wives and everyone, really. 1 Peter 3:7 says, husbands must give honor to your wives. There's a lot of elbowing going on right now across all of our campuses. Says this, treat her with understanding. She may be weaker. Don't elbow back, men. Do not elbow back. It's a good way to get hurt. I'm just trying to protect you. What does that weak mean? It means physically weaker. And so God is acknowledging the difference between the sexes. So maybe we should in sports. Right? Right there? Okay. Right there. Weaker also implies, and again, ladies, don't get mad at me, but scholars tell us that this also implies that they could be weaker emotionally. Here's what that means. It means that there's jobs that you shouldn't have to do because we handle it. Does that make sense? It's not saying you're weak. It's saying that men, there's a toughness about you. There's a grit about you that you probably will handle your teenage boys better and easier than your wife, right? Or a situation with a neighbor or whatever's going on. Like, you know, there's certain things I don't want my wife to have to go fight for me, or I should be fighting for her. Does that make sense? So that's a big thing. So it says, treat her with understanding. She may be weaker, but she is your equal partner. Treat her as you should so your prayers will not be hindered. Wow. I may be praying to God, and God's not even hearing it. He's like, no, I'm not going to answer your prayers. Why? Because you're not treating your wife right. You know, what does that do with God? God's like, everything. Do you realize that I totally told you in Scripture clear as day that marriage is a picture of my relationship with you? So if you're treating your marriage bad, you're treating me bad? So why would I mean, let me ask you something. Hey, men, go be rude to your wife all day, then hop in bed and be like, hey, babe, you want to get it on? See how that works out. What's happening there? You're not treating me well, so I am not open for business. Does that make sense? This is not hard to figure out. I mean, if you're confused, man, I really got to start with simpler things with you. If you don't get that, I'm sorry, I can't help you. So anyways, the point is, right, is it like God's saying, hey, I created your relationships to be a mirror of your walk with me. So if you're treating people bad, you're treating me bad. So this goes beyond marriage too. If you're, you know, students, I need to let you know something. Ephesians 6 is really clear. If you don't honor your father and mother, not just obey them, but honor them. That means, you know, when they say take out the garbage, you're not like, oh, okay. Fine. You did it, but you did not honor, right? And so all my kids had a little string in the back of their head, like a rope. And I'd be like, hey, do this. And they'd be like, and it was like I was pulling on the road. They'd be like, does your kids have that? You know what I'm talking about? The little rope? It's there. You're just like, so no, I don't want to do that. So when we treat our parents, our spouse, our employer, our friends, even our enemies, our neighbors, I mean, Jesus even goes so far as to say, love your enemies. There is no excuse to God to treat anyone badly and expect him to answer your prayers. It's as clear as day. I want to encourage you, cut the rope. Obey God. If you will do this, God will bless you. God may be waiting on you. Man, I'm just in the first point. We could stop right now and just call it a day, couldn't we? There's enough content there to be like, whew, okay. And so let's keep moving, okay? So here's another thing I want to encourage you with. Number two, God's silence is not his absence. God's silence is not his absence. Psalms 13:1, again, we go back to David. Look at David. This is how David felt. I love how emotional David was, right? He said this, long enough, God, you've ignored me long enough. I've looked at the back of your head long enough. Wow. You know what I appreciate about David? He's just this brutal, gut-wrenching honesty. He's like, I feel like you're just ignoring me. Of course, he wasn't. God responds to him, I'm sure. But let me show you another response. It doesn't go together. I don't want to act like it does. But God's character doesn't change person to person. So the way he responds to Isaiah would, I believe, be the same way he would respond to David. So look what he said to Isaiah at one point. God said to Isaiah, don't panic, I'm with you. God was saying, you seem really caught up in what I'm going to give you, not so much as whether I'm with you. Are we seeing God as like Amazon? Come on, God, I just want to click and just send it to me. I keep clicking and you won't send it. Just give me what I want. And God's like, well, I could do that, but then who would be the God in the relationship? And who would be the servant? So not all of us get what we want. And by the way, you know what we tend to do? We tend to go, well, they got it already, and they got it, and why can't I have it? All of them have it, but I can't have it. But they're looking at you seeing something you have that they're waiting on. Everyone has something they're waiting on. All of us have something that hasn't come through yet in our lives. Scripture goes on to say this in Matthew chapter 7. It says, you parents, if your children ask for a loaf of bread, do you give them a stone instead? Or if they ask for a fish, do you give them a snake? Of course not. So if you sinful people, I think God's cutting this down right there. If you sinful people know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give good gifts to those who ask him? And then he says this, do to others. Oh, wait a minute. This has to do with prayer? I did not know. Watch what God's about to put together. So he says, you know how to give good gifts to your kids. Why would I not give you a good gift? And then he says this, do to others as you would have them do to you. What does the golden rule have to do with prayer? Everything. Because here's what he says. He says, this is the essence of all that is taught in the law and the prophets, the golden rule. But we always think of the golden rule like, do to others as you would have them do to you. And God's like, right, and I'm going to do to you as I would want you to do for me if you were God. And so what would God do for us? What is it he wants to do for us that if he would hope that if we were God, that we would do for him? Well, I think there's a great theologian out there named Garth Brooks who put it pretty well. And this is what he said in his song, Unanswered Prayer. He said, sometimes I thank God for unanswered prayers. Remember when you're talking to the man upstairs that just because he doesn't answer doesn't mean he don't care. It's pretty good, isn't it? Listen, sometimes God... it doesn't answer your prayer the way you want because God has a plan in that. You ever been back to your high school reunion 20 years later? Remember that girl you were so in love with? Like, God, just please, please just let her fall in love with me. And then you see her 20 years later and you're like, God, thank you for not answering my prayer. He's a good God. He spared your butt. He spared you. He spared you. Okay. Look what Oswald Chambers had to say about this. He said this, we must learn to interpret God's silence as accurately as his answers. His silences are really his answers. Oh, wow. Sometimes that is the answer. Can I remind you of something right now? The same God who sometimes says no to you is the same God who went to the cross for you. So this is really important. You can trust his heart even when you can't trace his hand. We have to make a determination. Do we believe God is a good God or not? St. Bernard said this. It's not the dog you have. This is the actual man named St. Bernard. He said that we should never doubt in our prayers because God is always working for our good. Either our prayer will be granted or we will be protected from its granting. Oh, we forget about that, don't we? But you know what we tend to do? We tend to throw a fit, don't we? We get mad. We get upset. Now, I don't want to lack compassion right now, but for a moment, I've got to take it to the mattresses. You know what I'm talking about? That's a Godfather reference, by the way. I got to talk to you about something that people aren't getting, and this is really important because I think there's another issue going on if we are stuck and angry with God because our prayer is not getting answered. I really think this happens to all of us because what we don't realize what we're doing is we're basically like a distant cousin. Just imagine a distant cousin calling you that you never talk to. They never call. They never hang out with you. But they call one day and they go, hey, I need $10,000. And now, no matter what the reason is, whether it's the greatest deal opportunity of the world or they're in hurting and they're you know, the bank's going to come haul off their car, whatever it is, you're like, oh, man, I'm really sorry you have that need, but I'm really sorry. I don't have $10,000. Or maybe you're like me, you'd be like, well, I do have it, but I'm not going to give it because I never talked to you, and all of a sudden now you just want $10,000, right? And so what do they do at this point? They're like, you don't love me. I mean, if you loved me, you would just give me what I'm asking for. And I would step up and go, I do love you. I will not be emotionally manipulated by you. We do that to God all the time. Daddy, just give me the keys to the car. No, you're 10. You're not getting the keys to the car. Because I love you. No. And one day when you're mature enough, then I'll give you that gift. But if you're not mature enough, I love you enough to know what could hurt you. So I can say no to you out of love. Just like I would say no to my cousin. They shouldn't even call. You're not getting 10 grand. Sorry. But you get the point? The point is that we emotionally manipulate God. We do. Look at the scripture. Romans chapter 9, verse 20. Who are you to criticize God? Should the thing made say to the one who made it, why have you made me like this? Ho, ho, ho. God's turned the tables. He's like, whoa, 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 whoa. Who do you think made who? I made you. But we get mad, don't we? Oh, the human arrogance is unbelievable. We get so arrogant. I mean, we've taken arrogance to the next level in our culture. It's amazing. Like, God, you didn't make me right. In fact, you didn't make me the right sex. That's how much you messed me up. Or you didn't make me tall enough or short enough. Or you gave me curly hair instead of straight hair or no hair at all. Or I wasn't born in this family. Why don't I have this one? And God's like, who do you? Let me go fool Job on you. God says, hey, were you there when I put the foundations of the world together? Because I've been here for millions and millions of years. But somehow you think because you're going to be here for 70, 80, maybe 90 years that you got it all figured out over me? God's like, who's God here and who's not? Do you really think you got it figured out? God's like, you do realize that if I just tilted the earth just by one axis point, we'd spin off into all freeze to death and be dead. But I'm God, I'm running everything, and so let me run everything and let you be the assistant. Let you be small and on call while I'm large and in charge. So we got to remember this. This is important. And look, I'm not trying to be hurtful towards you, but I want to just tell you the scripture. We don't like the scripture on days like this. We love it on other days, but today we don't like the scripture. But here's another scripture, and the truth doesn't change based upon what's going on in your life. Here's the truth. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean on His understanding, and He will make your path straight. But you know what we do? We get so mad at God. We get obstinate. What does that mean? That means stubborn. And listen, you may have a really good reason. It may be understandable why you're mad at God. I know people that come to our church for years that have never received Christ. And they're like, I just can't do it. I just can't go there. And I'm like, why? Well, you know, I lost my mom or my dad or my grandparent or my child. And I'm not saying that's not a big deal. It's a huge deal. And we've all lost people. But come and let you know something right now. And I'm not trying to be harsh. But you know what? How's being mad working for you? Because it's ruining your fun. It's ruining your life. It's ruining your family's life having to live with you like that. You're missing out on your faith. And listen, you may say, I don't care. I don't care. You know, he took someone from me and I'm mad at him or he didn't give me what I wanted or I went through this traumatic experience and it's not right to go. First of all, God did not cause a traumatic experience. That person did. I'm just so mad that my mother was an alcoholic. Your mother made a choice to drink, not God. Why are you blaming God for what your mother did? You hear where I'm going? But I'm so mad. I need to let you know something. You can stay mad. You can even go one day and stand before God when you die and flip Him off on your way to hell. Oh. But how's that going to work out for you? Look at me. How's that going to work out for you? Does that sound like where you want to go? See, you can stand in hell. Man, I was right. I hope you like your position now. We all have trauma. We've all lost someone. We've all been betrayed. We've all been rejected. And if you haven't, you will. You make the choice after that what you do with it. And you are standing on top of someone's grave in anger, and if they could talk to you, they'd come out of the ground and go, what are you doing? Give your heart to God. I've seen the other side. You trust me. You want to give your heart to God. Don't be so stubborn that you miss out on the love of God. I didn't get what I wanted. It's amazing how we do this. So can I tell you what the real issue is? You write this down. What's the real issue here? Often we're actually saying, God, I know better than you. That's what we're saying. I know you have someone for me, but I like this guy, so I know they don't meet any of their qualifications in the Bible, but I'm going to date them anyways. What you're saying is, I know better than you. I know better. God, I'm going to do what I want. Guys, I'm warning you because God's word warns us that that is a disaster waiting to happen. You can try it, or you can talk to all the people around you and say, hey, how'd that work for you? And just hear their stories. And be like, I don't think I want that story. You know, I used to call this in dating, I call this a decade delay. You can date that person, it'll only cost you about a decade. I've seen people do it, it's just about a decade. I know some people on their second decade delay, the third decade delay. You can keep doing this if you want. I can tell you how it's gonna work out. So I'm not trying to be mean, but someone's already tried to coddle you with the whole, all things work to the good of those who love, but you're not loving God. All things work to the good of those who love God, which means my whole heart and soul is devoted to you. But I've let one thing that I haven't got, or one person that I haven't had yet, or one, what, there's something, until you give it, and then we say this, and this is how I know the real issue, because here's a statement. Here is the giveaway statement we've all said before. I just can't live without. And God goes, oh, I got another verse for that. Thou shalt not have any other gods before me. So are we saying, God, you haven't answered my prayer yet? Or are we saying, God, my way or the highway, this is the way I want it. You're going to give me this. And God says, it ain't working like that. Yeah, I have someone special for you. God says, I have someone special for you, not you to go find. I have a door all open, not you kicking the door open. I have a way for you, not you trying to make your own way. And sometimes God has to bring along a spiky-haired preacher with ADD and way too big pants to tell you something that you're not listening any other way. God loves you enough to say, I am God, you are not. I love how Tim Keller put it. Tim is now with the Lord. Timothy Keller, read anything he's written, anything, it's all good. I had a chance to meet him one day, really amazing guy. He talked about this in one of his books on pain and suffering. He was really struggling because he really loved the girl. He thought, this is it. They lived across the country. And he was like, God, please don't let her break up with me. And he felt like she was waning, like, oh, no, I can tell where this is going. You know, he had that gut feeling like, oh, no. And he really was in love. He was like, God, this is what I want. This is the girl. This is the girl for me. And she's a Christian, so there's none of that was an issue, but it still wasn't what God had. He moved across the country to meet her. He's like, okay, God, I solved the distance problem. Now let's make this happen. Lord, please don't let her break. She broke up with him. And this is what Tim Keller wrote years later, now married to his wife, who he's married to a very long time before he passed. He said this, God was saying, son, when a child of mine makes a request, I always give that person what he or she would have asked for if they knew everything I know. Oh, that's just it, isn't it? He knows more than we do. He does. I went off to college to a school I didn't want to go to. I ended up at a school, it's fine. I wanted to go to it first, and I got bored of it. I was like, I really want to go to A&M. That was the school I wanted. I was like, that's such a cool school. It's so big, and the football team and all the traditions. That's where I want to go. I was telling God all this. I was really trying to let God know my will, let him know what I was supposed to do. And I remember I called them, and this is before the internet. This is in the 1800s. I called them, and they sent me the documents to fill out. And as soon as I read it, I was like, oh, shoot. Like, I was only one semester in school, and you had to have a certain amount of hours to transfer. And I didn't have the grades, and I couldn't have gone straight from high school there. I had pretty good grades at this point, but I only had one semester. And they needed more hours. I was like, well, I don't want to be here. I'll transfer into Stephen F. Austin. But I still, in my mind, was like, I'm going to go there. Then I'm going to transfer from there to A&M. And I would not get this out of my mind. You ever had something on lock in your brain? I was like, this is what I'm going to do, right? So that was my plan. So I transferred to Stephen F. I'm there. I get involved with some great people. Made a lot of great friends. But I would even tell my friends, yeah, I love it here, but I'm heading to A&M. And they're like, why? Why don't you stay here? I was like, no, I want to go to A&M. You know, and they had this new degree plan I wanted to take. I was so excited about it. And I remember now I started teaching this Bible. I was invited to teach a Bible study, and it went well. And about a year later, they asked me to do it regularly, so that I did that. And I kind of really just started to discover a gift I had. I didn't know at the time. And the Bible study went from 50 to several hundred pretty quick. I was like, oh, man, this is crazy. And so, but even still, I'm stubborn. Anybody else in here stubborn? I was like, still want to transfer to Texas A&M University, right? It was just something in me. I was like, that's where I want to go. And so a friend of mine was like, Bill, I just don't see why you're so focused on this. I think God has something for me right here at Stephen F. Austin. And so I finally was like, you know what? I agree with you. And I married her. God had a plan for me at SFA. And stubborn me would have missed that if I would have gotten my way the multiple times I tried and tried and tried and tried, and just wasn't happening. God has a plan in the no's as much as he had a plan in the yes. By the way, do you know that I had a list of 13 cities across America to go plant the church in, and all 13, the doors closed? I got 13 no's, and then someone said to me, have you ever heard of Corpus Christi? I was like, no, not really. Where's that at? And they told me, and they're like, I really think that they could use a church like what you want. I don't think they have anything like that. And at the time, they had nothing like what we do. You know, this is, again, 27 years ago. And I was like, huh, I am so thankful for 13 no's. I am so thankful God said no over and over and over again. God knew what he was doing, and so I'm so thankful he has a plan for you. Last thing I want to tell you is this. Your disappointment may be God's divine appointment. Your disappointment may be God's divine appointment. Even the Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul, by the way, just let you in on him in case you don't know this. He wrote half of the New Testament. He would be arguably considered, and I think any scholar worth their salt would say this, that Paul is the greatest evangelist other than Jesus himself in world history. How many of you guys would agree with that? I think that's pretty much accurate. And God told him repeatedly, no. Huh. So apparently this doesn't have anything to do with whether you're spiritual or not. You can still hear no a lot. In fact, let me show you one example, Acts chapter 16. Paul and his companions traveled through the region of Phrygia and Galatia, having been kept by the Holy Spirit from preaching the word in the province of Asia. They wanted to go to Asia. They wanted some good sushi. They wanted to go teach Jesus. And God said, no, not happening. I don't want you to go here. He's like, God. And then it says this, when they came to the border of Mysia, again, Asia, they tried to enter Bithynia. Again, God's like, no, you can pick any city you want in Asia. The answer is going to be no. What's he doing? He's being stubborn. How many of you guys are like, Paul, that's me. I'm like, well, maybe that city. Maybe. And God's like, I said, no, you're not going on an Asian vacation. Give it up. Stop it. You're not going to this city or that city. And you're like, well, what about this? And what about that? And God's like, no. Now, of course, we know God brought the gospel to Asia too. We're not saying that didn't happen, but this was not the initial plan of God. And then what happens? Check it out. Paul hears no again. He's like, I don't know what to do, guys. He goes and he goes to sleep. Look what happens in his dream. Acts chapter 16, verse 9. During the night, Paul had a vision of a man of Macedonia standing and begging him, come over to Macedonia and help us. After Paul had seen the vision, he got ready at once to leave for Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them. You know what happened? This is the first step. This is the first foot of Christianity that stepped into Europe. Europe is the third most populous continent in the world. I'm so glad Paul went to Europe. You ever heard of Rome? You ever heard of the Vatican? Thank you, God, that Paul didn't just say, nope, going to do what I want. Because Paul went to Europe, guess what? The gospel broke out across Europe. Did you realize that? Do you know how critical that was to us in world history? I could unpack how that was such a big deal. I won't. I'll save us the time. But there's a little guy named Hitler that if we wouldn't have had a strong base of our faith that pushed against him, we would all be speaking German right now. God knows what he's doing in world history. And you and I are this big in that picture. Play your part. God says, do what I ask you to do. Did you know because of this, Paul goes into Europe, right? You know, there's a lady named Lydia. She was a very prominent businesswoman. She found Christ. She funded a lot of the work of God after that. Did you know that because this, Paul and Silas ended up in a prison, but that was also God's plan because they were miraculously freed from the prison. It's one of the best stories in the Bible, by the way. You should check it out. Paul and Silas, it's incredible. And so, you know, we have all this happening. Because this, Paul founded a church called Philippi, which is in this on this continent. Did you know when he did that? He wrote them a letter. In that letter, he wrote some words that you and I know pretty well. I can do all things through Christ who strengthened me. What would Tim Tebow have written on his face every game if Paul wouldn't have gone to Europe? Would you hear what I'm trying to say here? God's like, I have a plan. Get with my plan. Follow me. God says, I want to do something great in your life. Steve Maraboli wrote this once. He said, what we usually call unanswered prayer is in reality an unopened gift. An unopened gift. Do you have a little something for me? Thank you. Appreciate that. Thank you, sir. So, you know what? The thing is that we love gifts. I mean, I do. I don't know about you, but I'm kind of a gifts guy, you know? And as a father, I love giving gifts to my kids. It's so much fun. Now I get to do it with grandkids. Oh, even more fun. I love it. So fun. But I will tell you this. I love a good gift. And if you're like me, when you're little, you see like everyone's got their gifts, and you're thinking, that's funny, I asked for something pretty particular. I mean, I don't know if it can be in that. Can it be in that? We're like, okay, well, there's one gift. God, Father, is that for me? No, that's not yours. And you're like, but everyone's got what they wanted, and I'm still, and he goes, I know, just be patient. But Dad, there's only, but Abba, Father, there's only one. And God's like, and Father says what? No, wait, have you ever done this? As a father, you're like, no, you understand. What I have for you is so big, it doesn't fit under the tree. So if you'll just sit tight. No, don't unwrap. That's not yours. No, I'm going to go, stop it. Quit being fixated on that. Focus on the giver, not the gift. Let that go. No, don't. That's for someone else. Give me a second. And then Father runs to the back room. And he's like, I have something, but you see, you wanted that gift, but you don't understand. I have something so much bigger for you. It won't fit under the tree if you would just wait for me. Excuse me. Now, that's what I have for you. My kids were little. I've shared this story before, but James 4:8 says, draw near to God and he will draw near to you. I love gifts. But the reason I love giving gifts to my kids is because I love my kids. That's the reason behind it. It's really not about the gift. It's about my relationship with my kids. So when they were really, really little, Sophie would come up to me and she'd be like, because I'd have a cookie in my hand, which I still to this day have cookies in my hand. I don't know how that works, but I just still, I'll be eating something, sitting on the couch, and she'd be like, She sounded just like that. And I'd be like, oh, you want this? And she'd be like, And I'd go, okay. And she'd be like, no. And I'd be like, And then she'd crawl up me. She'd get in my lap, and I would wrap my arms around her, and she'd be like, no. Because she wants the gift, but I wanted her. Could God be saying, I'm going to take care of this, but will you just abide in me right now? Could God be saying, do you realize I'm the gift? Seek me first and all the other things you want, Matthew 6 tells us. I'll give you all that, but I want you to want me more than them or this or that. So right now, would you take a moment with your head bowed, your eyes closed? God has something bigger for you. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Maybe it's time to say, God, I keep holding on to something small. It looks big to me, but I guess it's not. So God, I'm willing to let go of something if I have to for something better. I'm willing to quit being impatient, knowing that in the back room, you got something big for me. I can trust you. If that's you, would you hold your hand high and just say, God, I'm willing to trust you. I'm not going to say anymore, you don't know what you're doing, when you do know what you're doing. Praise God. Thank you. The hands going up all across our churches. People just trusting God, saying, God, I don't know why this is taking so long, but Lord, I trust you. Trust the Lord. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Have you given your life to Christ? You can receive him right now by praying a very simple prayer. Maybe you've been the obstinate one, the stubborn one, because you're still mad of the trauma you went through, the difficulty, the loss you had. God's not making light of that, and neither are we. But why would you push off the very one who can heal you of your pain? So I want to encourage you today to receive Jesus as your Lord and your Savior. Pray this prayer with us. You can say this across all of our campuses, those watching online. Just say this. Just say, Dear Jesus, I realize I need you in my life. I realize you're the gift that God's giving me. So I ask you to come into my heart. Be my Lord, be my Savior. I repent of my sins. I put you in first place. Thank you, Jesus, for saving me. With every head bowed, every eye closed, if you just gave your life to Christ, no one's looking around, would you hold your hand high right now? All of our campuses, hold your hand high if you just gave your life to Christ. Those at Rodfield right now, thank you for holding those hands high. Thank you, Stone Oak. God's moving right now in Portland, Texas. Hold those hands high. Thank you, Rockport Fulton. Thank you, Padre Island. Thank you. Prison ministry, praise God. God's moving in all of our units, praise God. Every head bowed, every eye closed, right here at broadcast, hold those hands high if you just gave your life to Christ. We thank you. God, thank you that you're moving, and thank you, Lord, that you have some prayers you're not going to answer, and there's going to be some no's because there's going to be a big divine yes on the other side of it. And Lord, we trust you. You know what you're doing. You are our God. We are your servants. Lord, we will not get that order reversed. We'll put you first. Thank you, Jesus, for your word today. In your name we pray. And all God's people said, amen and amen. Thank you. Pastor? Amen.